are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Something is amiss in Colossae, and Paul is just not having it. There's false teachings and philosophy and Christians being led astray by unsound doctrine. And Paul just cannot stand it. So he does what anyone would do. He writes a letter. And so this is the book of Colossians. It's this letter about this unsound doctrine, this philosophy that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. It's four chapters long, very short, and it's one of our little books that we've been doing for our Little Books with Big Impact series all through the summer. And Paul starts, this is, I think, just one of the most beautiful things that he's written. He starts with this wonderful hymn to God, and I'm going to read you a passage from it. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Now that is a stunning ode to Jesus Christ, an affirmation of sound doctrine, a thesis statement for what it means to be a Christian. Frankly, it's some major credentialing that he does up front. You can't read what he says there and pretend that he's anything but an expert in Christianity. And then he goes on to say in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, he gives you the reason why he's writing it. Here's what he says. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. He sets himself up in order to show that those who are peddling in philosophy are not nearly up to the standard that Paul holds himself. And then all of this leads up to this wonderful statement that I think is just a great emphasis of this book. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23 says, If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All of these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They are simply human commands and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in checking self-indulgence. Paul wants you to know, and he wants to make sure you know, appearances don't matter. Rather, it's the substance that matters. So, for example, I'm wearing a suit right now, and I think that lends quite an appearance of authority to me, if I do say so myself. But the legitimacy of this jacket actually hides the fact that I am wearing shorts and sandals. So, you know, the appearance of wisdom really sometimes just is that. And that's a tricky part of the puzzle here. The biggest problem in all of this is that the philosophy that Paul is railing against, it doesn't seem all that bad. It's not encouraging human sacrifice or anything. It's not armed insurrection. It's reasonable. And it's not wholly uncontroversial. But that's the insidiousness of it. It comes to the church in Colossae cloaking itself with the appearance of reasonableness. But it's not. It's regulations, it's rules, it's laws that exist without a greater purpose, designed based on the laws of the world to apply to the people of the world. It's designed not with the kingdom of God in mind, but with the world as its focus. And just because something appears reasonable or legitimate does not make it so. This past week, I've been thinking a lot about Congressman John Lewis, who died just a little over a week ago. I've been thinking about his life and his legacy and the legacy he left for our country. I've also been thinking about the forces that he spent his life fighting against. The forces of authority that were given the appearance of legitimacy, given the appearance of wisdom. And I think of the ways that those forces used the trappings of their offices and positions to unleash pain on people that society deemed less legitimate at the time. And it was really only after that power was abused so egregiously on that bloody Sunday on the Edmund Pettus Bridge did it become widely apparent the extent of the illegitimacy of that power and authority. Because the appearance of legitimacy can be downright dangerous. It was dangerous for John Lewis, who was left with a fractured skull. It's still dangerous today. It was dangerous when police beat peaceful protesters with nightsticks for protesting. And it is dangerous when federal agents pull people into unmarked vehicles for unknown reasons. When something looks official or looks legitimate, but doesn't seem to be acting in that way, when something, as Paul would say, has the appearance of wisdom, that's the time, friends. That is the time when we need to ask the most questions of it. And so this fallacy of a legitimate-seeming philosophy, once it becomes obvious to us, what then should we do? How should we respond? Paul gives us a sense of what it is that we should do to exhibit true piety and faith. In fact, Paul spells it out explicitly. Listen to this in Colossians 3, chapter 12 through 14. Listen to how the faithful live legitimate wisdom. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Friends, this is not the appearance of piety. It's not some visible, authoritative view of what could be legitimate or right. It's a surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit. It's a recognition that our legitimacy, that our wisdom is not tied to this world, is not tied to the regulations and rules of this world, but is rather tied to our devotion to God, and through that, our devotion to our neighbor. Because let's face it, compassion is not going to make us famous. Kindness is frowned upon. Humility is not going to give us any success. Meekness, it might as well be just surrendering to your enemies, just taking the loss. And patience, well, that's well outside of our list of national virtues. And love? Oh, geez, don't get me started. Love is weakness. Love is vulnerability. Love, it's kind of just a bad idea if you're trying to make it in the world. But you see, the appearance of legitimacy, the legitimacy that the world gives, that's nothing. And it's especially nothing if it isn't undergirded by those things that make us truly great. Because how we appear, what we look like, that doesn't matter.